here tonight. I hope that you've had a good afternoon in the Lord. One prayer request I'd like to offer you to pray about. Miss Amanda that sits down here, she got saved a couple of weeks ago when Brother Rocco was here. I was supposed to meet with her this evening to talk to her about baptism, and she got the flu. Fever went over 100. Her mom's got the flu. So pray for them. That's just like the devil to fight whenever someone's wanting to submit to their first steps of obedience of after getting saved. So be in prayer, if you would, for them. And that will be a blessing. Tomorrow morning, if at all possible, if you can come by and help print, Brother Chase wants to try to get at least part three. We've got two more to get done, and we got the Creole. We'll have 10,000 Creoles ready. We got two of them done. So tomorrow morning, if you can, we're going to start about 8:15 in the morning. And we'll, if we, it runs like it's run since it had its, it acted like a donkey. Well, I'm telling you. I hope she can't hear me, because if she can hear me, she'll act bad tomorrow. Yes, I won't blame Brother Chase. I talk to her like she's a female, but not because females are bad. I just figured, I know I got to ease into this before I get myself in trouble. I talk to her like that because I think if psychologically, if I speak gently to her, she'll operate correctly. But she's sure been acting like a stubborn old man here lately. Stay in my lane before I get in trouble. ladies, you are sweet and kind. You really are. But that's in the morning, about 8:15. We're going to try. And if it runs smooth like it did the last one, we can get both of them done tomorrow with no problem. Now, if it runs a little difficult on us, then we at least get one done. And we'll be a third, three-fourths of the way done with this Creole print. That's in the morning, about 8:15, if you can. Okay, good to have visitors with us tonight. Glad to get that covered and out of the way. Now we get to the Word of God. Now, we're going to read a lot of Scripture to get started. This is going to take 2 to 3Sunday evenings. We're going to kind of look at the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge. So our first portion of Scripture is going to be in Numbers 35. Numbers 35. There are six cities of refuge that God set up. So we're going to kind of look at them, and then we're going to kind of compare them to our day and age, which we live in now, and how they kind of correlate to how things work for us. Numbers chapter 35. All right. Brother Jen, you got your reading glasses on? Okay. Brother Bernie, you got your reading glasses? Can you find Deuteronomy chapter 4? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Brother Douglas, you got reading glasses? You don't need them. You read for me? Joshua chapter 20. He'll be in Joshua chapter 20. Can we check this orange one? Check, check, check. Chick-fil-A. Closed on Sundays. Chip, chip. All right. Brother Jim, you'll start reading there, and I'll give you the verses. It's going to be quite lengthy for you. Y'all follow along. We're in Numbers chapter 35, verse 9 through 27, Brother Jim. Verse 9 through 27.
Numbers 35:9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying in wait that he die, or an enmity shall smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without lying in wait, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he hath fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. Because okay. He should have...
Okay, Brother Jim, we'll stop right there. All right, Brother Bernie, if you'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 41 through 43. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 41 through 43.
Then Moses severed three cities on the side of Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bazer, and the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan and Bashan of the Manassites.
Okay, Joshua chapter 20, verses 2 through 9. Joshua chapter 20, verses 2 through 9.
Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he doth flee unto one of the cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then shall they not deliver the slayer up unto his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation.
All right, thank you, ma'am. So we read quite a bit. There's a good amount of information about the cities of refuge, and so we kind of got a good picture of it. That you know, if you was working in the city, maybe you were working on the wall, and you was banging, you know, with your hammer or your chisel, trying to chisel out, you know, a piece of brick so you can repair it and get it fixed. And then all of a sudden, your hammer slipped out of your hand in the back, hit somebody in the head, they fell over dead. It was an accident. But there was a process to this. There was also this person known as the Avenger of Blood, the near kinsman. It was his responsibility in all this to exact vengeance upon that one which caused the harm. And so it was the responsibility of the one who caused the harm to get to one of these six cities. And then at the six cities, they would have what you'd call kind of a trial before the elders. You'd tell his story, tell him, they'd do a little investigation. And then there was some rules that must take place. He still wasn't free. He had to remain in that city. He had to live in that city until the high priest died. Then when the high priest died, then he was free to go. But, you know, that could have been 7 years, 12 years, 20 years. It could have been a while. Now you're in one of these six cities. Your family's over there unless they relocate and come over there. It's kind of a little hardship. Even if it was an accident, it created you. You had some responsibilities that you had to do that was there. Now, if they found you to be guilty, that you did it in spite, you saw the guy coming and, you know, somebody was talking, you said, man, that guy yesterday, he sold me a goat. That goat was 12 years old, should have been 4 years old. I'm mad at him. When he walks by, I'm throwing my hammer at him. Then all of a sudden it happens and they testify. They put you out the city. You killed somebody, your life is taken. So I guess you kind of get a big picture on this, how God looks at capital punishment. The death penalty is in the Bible. It's a biblical thing. It is. But there was a process. You just couldn't have vigilantes running around hanging folks down at the local tree that they found because they thought you had stolen a horse. You know, it had to be a process. So there was a process. But even if he was found to be innocent, there was still a process. He had to remain. He had to stay there. He had to live there. Created some hardship. Kind of could have been thinking like, wow, I've been here like 7 or 8 years. Man, I'm ready to go. Surely that family's done forgot about this. Well, old cousin John, he's local merchant there. He sees you go out the gate. He sends up his smoke signal over there to the mountaintop to cousin Jed. Cousin Jed sends his smoke signal over there to this mountaintop. Before you know it, the Avenger of Blood's on your trail. And if he kills you, he was innocent. He did his job. But if he was to come into the city and takes vengeance upon you, then he would be found guilty. So this was a process of judgment and a process which God set up. Now each of these cities, if you go look at it and begin to study it and break down by definition and what they call it, all of these cities have some correlation to our Lord Jesus Christ. So for instance, Kadesh, if you look up the definition of Kadesh, it is holy or holiness. That's the definition of it. Well, flip over to Mark chapter number 1. Now, this is introductory, and if you let me get through the introductory of all these six cities, I promise you we'll be out of here and y'all can be done. But if we can't get through the six cities and I hear grumbling, I'm like, wow, Old Testament, man, the NBA, isn't the game on tonight, the All-Star game? No, last night? I don't know. But I want some ice cream, Pastor, hurry up. Then we'll just go on through all the points. Right now we're just going to look at definitions. So we're going to get done pretty quick. But Kadesh, holy or holiness, look at Mark chapter number 1, if you would. Mark chapter number 1, we're going to try to get a little coalition, how it resembles or pictures or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter number 1, look at verse number 24. Say, let us alone, what have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now this is the demons talking. The Holy One. So Kadesh, you look up that dictionary and you see, well, what does Kadesh mean? It means holy or holiness. So it's a picture. Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. And so it's a picture of Christ. So Kadesh is holy. Here we have the demons recognizing Jesus as the Holy One of God. There. Now Shechem, you look that dictionary up and you look what it means, and it says that's the shoulder or that which bears or carries. So Shechem is shoulder or that which bears or carries. Look with me over in Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Now, you that are Bible scholars, you understand that this here is the chapter that is the prophecy of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah 53, look in verse number 4. So remember, Shechem, shoulder, or that which bears or carries, Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So shoulder, or that which bears or carries. Well, we see the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore our grief. He carried our sorrow. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Look over in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we know, of course, he carried his own cross, though not being guilty. The cross was laid upon him, and he carried up Golgotha until he was laid upon it. And so Shechem, a shoulder, or that which carries, there's another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Hebron. Hebron, it is, the definition of Hebron is fellowship, from a root word meaning joined, or bind together, or bound together. So fellowship, or joined, or bound together. Look in 1 Corinthians, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You remember, I'm just trying to give you the definition here, and then give you a verse of Scripture that kind of gives us a picture that these cities were sort of in representation of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 3 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, and then again verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, and His Son Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there's Hebron. Hebron is fellowship, or that which is joined or bound together. Then there's Bezer, B-E-Z-E-R. That is a stronghold or a rock or a fortress. Look with me in Nahum. Nahum, the book of Nahum. Micah, Nahum. That's one of them back there in the Old Testament, down towards the back side of the Old Testament, in the minor prophets. Nahum, chapter number 1, and verse number 7. Nahum, chapter 1, and verse number 7. The Bible says there in Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Well, surely if you was chasing, somebody was chasing behind you and they were running after you because you accidentally took somebody's life and you found yourself into Bezer, well, I'm telling you, it became a stronghold to you. Well, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and knoweth them that trust in Him. You had to have some good trust in this system that God put up together. I mean, if it didn't work out right, you just ran a long ways for nothing. You just beat on your donkey till he was out of breath till you got to one of these cities, and then they closed the gates and said, hey, we don't need this trouble. Get on up out of here. We don't need this trouble. Matter of fact, we don't even have time for court. It's 6:30 and Judge Judy's on. Get on. We ain't got time for it. No, it didn't happen that way, did it? They welcome them in. They heard the story. Isn't that Jesus says, come unto me, all ye are heavy laden. He said, come reason with me. And He's that stronghold. So, you know, in the day of trial, I'm glad he is that stronghold. And then there's Ramoth. Ramoth is exaltation. The definition of that city is exaltation. So look with me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. The Word of God says there, verse 32 and 33. This Jesus hath God raised up. Wait a minute, exaltation. That God hath raised up, whereof we are all are witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this, which ye know now see and hear. Isn't it amazing? You go back and you look just a little bit into a dictionary, get a little bit of words there, and then there's a verse. As God begins to show us those pictures, begins to help us to understand what these really look forward to. The Old Testament is full of things that look forward to Christ. And we get to enjoy the knowledge of knowing, looking and studying and seeing Scripture that ties in and, binds together those thoughts and, kind of, even in prophecy, a lot of times, in prophecy, the prophet who was used by God to foretell what was said, he could see something here, he could see it over there, but he could not see all the in-between. What a blessing it is. We have the preserved Word of God. We see the prophecy. Now, there's a bunch of prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet, but there's a bunch of prophecies that were foretold in the Old Testament that are already complete and come to pass. And we get to see the foretelling. We see the culmination of it, but we got to see all that in between that said, wow. Now, we are blessed, dear friend. We are blessed to have the oracles of God and to be able to not only see the prophecy and the fulfillment, but we get to see all of that in between and everything that goes along with that. And so Ramoth is exaltation, and God hath exalted his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's Golan. Golan, the definition of Golan is joy. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 11. So Golan is joy. Romans 5:11 says this, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What joy that should bring into you to know that you've been atoned. The sins that you rightly owned and was yours, they have been atoned for through the Lord Jesus Christ. That should bring a lot of joy. A lot of joy. So Golan is joy. Now, this revenger of blood, the near kinsman, the ones whose job was kind of to go and exact vengeance upon that one which took that life. If you kind of look at it in today's day and age, it's kind of like the roaring lion that seeketh who it may devour. His whole job was to devour him. Brother Jim, his job was not to hear the testimony. Brother Bernie, his job was not to be there in the courthouse with the elders and they listened to the story. His job was one thing and one thing only, was to destroy the one. That was all his job. He didn't care if he was guilty or innocent. You left that city, you were dead. That's all he cared about. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, that roaring lion, the devil, in the day and age we live in, if you go and look up that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, he is no different. He don't care if you've got a testimony of salvation. He don't care if you've got a church member, or a church, your name is on church rolls all across America. He don't care if you sing in 17 choirs. You can be part of the old Tabernacle Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. That great choir sang out of there. You could have been a member of that choir. He don't care. He's a roaring lion. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, you get out of the city of refuge. Who's our city? Jesus. You step out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. He's a lion. He's that avenger of blood. He's after you. So, I think we're going to stop right there. Y'all paid attention, follow. I heard Bibles, pages going here and there, ferreting through the Word of God and finding out what God thinks about the cities of refuge. Now, we're going to pick up next Sunday evening, and we're going to look at possibly six items. Maybe. There is six items. We might get through them. We may not. It just depends how God works that. But the cities of refuge, and all of them, by definition, have some coalition with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed. Brother Jim's going to come. They're going to lead us in a song of invitation. Perhaps you just want to come and say, thank you, Lord, for being my city of refuge. Maybe you're lost. Maybe outside of fellowship with God and the old devil, the slewfoot himself has been trying to devour you. Why don't you run? Run back to Jesus. That's where our security is.